I'm Chaim Goldman, the Watchman, and you're listening to The Peak Elevated. This is a bonus interview with Peter Hiltz, superintendent of School District 49 here in the Springs. Just finished up our interview with him and our entire program. And as I like to do during this, I say, you know what? Let's step outside of why you came here. Let's step outside of what you're asked about all the time, and let's talk about something different. And but we're not going too far afield because we've been talking about parental involvement. And so Peter said he wanted to talk about parenting and the importance of parenting. And he let us know during the program that he is a father of six, grandfather of six, great-grandfather of one. I'm getting that correctly. So Peter Hiltz, again, thanks for being on The Peak and welcome to The Peak Elevated.
Thank you. I appreciate we're going up a level here. And although I love my profession and education is something I'm deeply passionate about, my inner core identity really is about being a dad. And I've had the blessing over my career of sometimes being the educator for my own children. It really started. We adopted three of our children. And so we had a couple kids. We adopted three more. We had one more, rounded out this total of six. And when we first adopted our kids from Ethiopia, it made sense for us to homeschool for a season. And so we did that. And that was the first opportunity that I got to bring my professional life and my parental responsibilities into harmony. But ever since then, it's been evident to me that this role of parenting, this calling of being a parent, is so fundamental. And yet many of us are intimidated by what our culture says or what our neighbors say. And one of the greatest years of my life was the year when I was the high school principal here in town at the Classical Academy. And I had my daughter, Sadr, who was a senior, and my son, David, was a junior, and my daughter, Mahalia, was a freshman. And I got to be dad and principal parent all at the same time. And some of the lessons that I learned there were the things that were working really well for my older daughter didn't work for my younger daughter at all. And so parenting and being sensitive to the child, understanding their strengths, their sensitivities, and also their opportunities for growth, boy, I would call on parents to deeply, deeply go to school on your child. Figure out with them, what's their motivation system? What is their love language? I think that's an insightful model from Dr. Chapman. And thinking about how do you parent lovingly, it's going to look different for each kid at each stage. And I love when I see parents who are humble and they acknowledge where they need to grow and where they need to improve, and they ask for help, because to me, that is the pathway to amazing parenting.
What do you think the key to parenting is? Unfortunately, we used to have a society where there were, well, people had children younger, they had more of them, and people stayed locally. So we had parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, things were being passed down. You know, then it turned into self-help books, you know, to get the advice. And now feeling very intimidated and being told by, you know, government systems, we have your children, don't worry about it. You know, what is the key? How can we make it simpler in right. a way? I don't think that our parents, grandparents generation thought about parenting so much. You know, I think it may have been more inherent. It was still difficult. How do we get this back? How do we restore back to the country that we had, where things are just more natural, they don't have to necessarily be learned out of books, and that we're doing it right, in your opinion?
Well, to start, you restore the country by restoring the family. And the way you restore the family, I'm a conservative because I believe there are things that were learned and done well, and we ought to conserve those things. And so I would say, what did our great-grandparents and grandparents do to bring children up? Now, in those 40s or 50s, when they were raising their kids, there were more explicit gender expectations. And so a dad might have taken his son hunting or helped him to work on a car or build something. And a mom might have taught her daughter to prepare and present an amazing meal or to care for a younger sibling. And there were these kind of performance-based things where you could tell if you were doing it right or not. Did the engine turn over? Did you get the timing? Did you harvest the moose like I did with my dad? Those are these tangible goals that you can set and achievements, accomplishments that you can pursue together. And I think when parents in modern times, they feel eclipsed by the digital technology, maybe even by the media, and the voice of the media is so strident in our lives. And so I think going back to some things that worked a couple of generations ago, the simple things, the shared activities, and the shared achievements. Now, I'm not suggesting we return to that strict kind of gender segregation. I have a daughter who wanted to hunt, and I took her firing weapons. And I have a son that was very artistic and actually went to culinary school. Now, does that, I don't think that mixes up the genders, but in either case, the point is that we're doing something that's measurable. There's an accomplishment that we can mark. We can kind of raise our Ebenezer, we would say, and say, I did that thing. I accomplished that thing. Boy, our children are craving that kind of tangible achievement and accomplishment. And to do it with somebody that you know loves you and coaches you and mentors you toward that, that is pure gold. And we have traded it in for a lot of fool's gold.
Yeah, and what have we traded it in for? Is it just that, you know, everybody's the same, that there's no merit, no grading, no accountability? I mean, what have we traded it for?
So that's part of it. We've absolutely traded it in for the safe path, which is sort of homogenous and everybody is the same and everybody gets a participation trophy, no judgment, no standards even. But I think we've also... We are in a real battle against a real enemy. I believe this deeply. The scriptures call that enemy the adversary or the accuser. And so when people accuse us of having too strict or too high of expectations or you're too controlling, when we're accused, those people are doing the work of the adversary. And so I do think many parents are intimidated from leading out of their natural instincts because they don't want to be perceived as old-fashioned. And at the same time, their children are maybe being taught to be defiant, whether it's by popular media characters or who gets elevated into celebrity status. And so when I talk to parents, especially parents of the tweeners, they're coming up from 10 to 13 or so, I say, look, your job is to help your child transition from a child dependent to an adult independent. And that's a shared job. I always talked with my own kids and said, this is our shared job. We got to get you from complete dependency as an infant to full independence as an adult. And our challenge is to get from here to there without breaking our relationship. But by framing it to my kids as our shared job, our shared responsibility, then we could check in and say, hey, how are you doing that? Are you feeling a little bit more independent, a little more competent and capable? Do you still appreciate where I'm at, or am I starting to feel like I'm smothering you a little bit? And I had kids that were at different points. Some of them wanted to learn to drive as soon as they were old enough. Others wanted to take their time. Some wanted to take on tasks, fail and learn. And others wanted to be coached along the way. So to me, the essence of being a good parent, what I think my wife and I have discovered through the years, is to know the future is coming where that child steps across and leads their own life, and to be as supportive as you possibly can while still maintaining some appropriate expectations and guardrails for their development.
You talked about being a conservative. Why do you think that, and we have about a minute to answer this, why do we think that the conservatives movement, if you want to call it that, has not been able to win over the youth? Why is the messaging not getting to them?
I would draw that contrast. I think it's an excellent and important question. I would draw that contrast because I think there's been two versions of conservatism that have really emerged. One is a more persuasive version that looks to what we've done well. It's fact-based. It draws on examples and virtuous characters. But there's also a really repulsive form of conservatism that is accusatory, that is harsh, demeaning, and disrespectful. And so I'm aware of a local activist who went to a national leadership conference, and the speaker said, I'm really asking you to be kind. And that individual turned to her colleague and said, no, I will not be kind. That's corrosive, repulsive conservatism. It doesn't attract or win anyone over. I want to be a persuasive, logical, emotional, appealing conservative because I believe there are great things worth conserving.
Okay. Thank you, Peter Hiltz, superintendent of D49 School District here in the Springs. Thank you for being on the Peak Elevated.
Thank you for inviting me to walk up the peak with you. I appreciate it.
I'm Chaim Goldman for the Peak.